Hello.
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 Hello. Hello.
Hey.
Hey.
Hello. And welcome to Comic Culture.
Welcome. How are you today, Walt?
Fine, Chris. Hey, Chris.
Great.
Comic Culture is the radio show.
Radiant show.
The Radiant show.
We are very radiant.
We are,
yes,
aren't we?
True,
especially
yes.
You. You're fetching.
Tonight. Oh, stop it.
Listen, we are the radio show that champions the local comic book shop. We're broadcasting at award-winning 93.3 CFMU FM McMaster Radio and postulating at comicbookdaily.com and getthepointradio.com. I am messing up the lines and Walter Riley at the same time, Overstreet Price Guide Advisor.
And I have so far not messed up a line, but just wait till the end of the show. And also occasionally professor of comic book history at Hamilton's Mohawk College.
And as always, Chris, we are your snowbirds.
Returning to the great white north of comic books.
Yes, Chris. And that is a reference to you.
Yes.
Returning from Florida on your vacation.
Yes, yes.
Did you have a good vacation?
I had a great vacation.
Good.
Yeah, no. Nope.
I had that birth Elmer here last
year. I know. I heard.
Yeah.
You know,
it was okay, I guess.
I heard that, you know, he tried to say that it was the greatest show ever.
Yeah.
And according to everybody else, it was
you know what, Chris,
the greatest show ever?
To make you feel good, I've only received, I think, about 37 emails saying it was the greatest show ever. Well, really? Below your and my normal.
Can you email that to me? Because I'd really like to see those.
Or anyway, Chris, hey, like I said before, we're broadcasting at 93.3 CFMU FM McMaster Radio.
Didn't you already say that?
Yeah, and they're a radio station that is coming up soon. The pledge drive for the thing, and we just want to remind the listeners that it's a community radio station. Could always use the support.
Absolutely.
And if you just go on to CFMU FM, Google CFMU FM McMaster,
yeah,
and it'll come
and
up.
You'll find it.
Yeah, and they'll gladly take your money.
Absolutely.
And you know what? If you enjoy listening to quality programming like the show before ours and the one right after, It's well worth it.
That's right.
All right.
All right. Well, you know what? We do talk about, other than radio stations and other than my trips to Florida.
Yes.
We do talk about comic books on this show.
Oh.
And so why don't we just jump right in? Because, you know, we're doing this show with no music today.
We decided,
you know, no Krantz today, no music.
Breaks my heart.
We're going solo.
We're going commando.
We're going commando. All right.
All right. Every week we start with
new this week.
New this week.
And new this week is brought.
New this week is brought to you by Hennessy Black. Once you've tried Hennessy Black, you'll want to go running back.
Did you have a bad experience with Hennessy Black?
Well, Hennessy came out with a new cognac.
Okay.
Hennessy Black.
I love the way you say, because most Westerners call it cognac, and you're like, cognac.
Okay, I'm sorry.
I like that.
All right. And, you know what? It just wasn't there.
A little bitey, eh?
So, Chris, just down yours before.
I would never drink and radio perform at the same time.
Never.
No.
Never. All right.
So listen, you know what? Let's start the show with our new this week, and we've got, you know, how can I not talk about the big Marvel launch of Age of Ultron, Book One, by Brian Michael Bendis, Brian Hitch, Paul Neary, and Paul Mounts. This is the big blockbuster from Marvel coming out, and you know what? I'm looking at the first few pages here, and it is a blockbuster. It's got some pretty cool, devastating artwork. It's got Ultron in it. It's got Hawkeye. Hawkeye's, you know, I don't know what Marvel's doing. Marvel's trying to make Hawkeye out to be a major player, because even on the cover, there's all these different heroes, and it's like Hawkeye is the only one that's sort of standing off against Ultron. You know, Ultron's got Captain America in his grasp, and Ultron's kind of like, you know, racing towards Hawkeye, and Hawkeye's just staring him down.
Okay. All right. A little bit of a spoiler alert.
Okay.
Okay, we're going to talk about the cover a little bit.
Well, that's what, yeah.
Very beautiful, high gloss, both front and back.
Yes.
Really shiny
yes.
and nice.
Yes, you know what very I'm nice, very nice.
Gold embosomed.
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 Sure.
Embosomed. It's a gold embosomed, what do you call this thing, a logo?
Embossed logo.
Embossed logo. Yeah. And
I like embosomed.
Embosomed. And everything is beautiful. And I'm looking at Ultron coming right at you,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And he's got Cap, and he's got Iron Man, I think, and he's got Spidey, they're all down, and Hulk is all down. And reflecting off his gold helmet is a guy with a, what do you call those things?
Bow and arrow.
That would be Hawkeye.
Yeah, right? That would be Hawkeye.
And he's like, okay.
Didn't I just talk about this?
No, but what I'm saying is you've taken the Hulk down, and you're worried about a guy with a bow and arrow.
Yeah, I know. It's a little, and this was my point. It looks like Marvel's really trying to make Hawkeye out to be, I mean, he's a great character and all, but I'm pretty sure he can't outdo the Hulk.
Yeah. Right? Like, and every, saying. I think all 5,842 Marvel characters are depicted
Pretty much,
being defeated by Ultron.
Yeah, you've got, I don't want to give away the cover too much, but you've got both, it looks like both Spider-Woman and Spider-Man on the cover, and, you know, you got just tons of characters and lots of Ultrons on the cover. I'm not giving away too much on the cover, there's no spoilers, but, you know what, I gotta say, it's looking like a pretty cool book. I don't want to give too much of the book away because it is the beginning of the big Marvel adventure that is the Age of Ultron. And for those of you that want to read it, as I said, I don't want to give too much away.
Hey, listen, everybody listening, all the comic shops, all the local comic shops that are carrying this and all the fans of Marvel and fans of comic books in general, really, we should all be cheering for this book. We should all try it. We should all check it out. And we should all hope to heck that it's done well, written well. Because a big, huge event by, you know, I guess the number one publisher in the industry,
Marvel,
it should be something that we're, you know, I don't know, not belittling.
No.
I hope, you know, they've put their money where their mouths are and created a great product. And what's going to make it a great product, Chris, is a really tight, good story.
Well, and here's what I'm really hoping, because generally with these, you know, crossover type stories and with these major stories, the story themselves are usually pretty good, but then you get a kick in the pants by the end of the storyline because all of a sudden it doesn't really end. It branches off into a million other stories, and you're like, oh man, now I got to buy 12 other comics.
Yeah.
So I hope it doesn't do that. I hope it's a self-contained story that it doesn't leave you hanging. That's my big issue.
That might be too big a hope.
I know. I know.
I hope they don't. Let's just say I hope they don't make the mistakes they've made before on these multi-crossover.
Right. Right. All right. All right. Well, let's hope so. All right.
That's Age of Ultron, Chris, at your local comic book shop today.
You know what? You know what local? You know what we do for the local comic book shop? We champion the local comic book shop.
We do. We indeed do.
I know. I'm just reiterating it.
All right.
All right. So we got next up on the chopping block here. Or I should say on the hit parade, I suppose. Huntress and Power Girl in World's Finest, number 10 from DC Comics. Now, for those of you who know me, you know I'm a Power Girl fan, and you know that you know she's been long time my favorite female DC character.
I didn't know that about you.
It's true. It's true. And you know what? I gotta say that I'm actually enjoying this World's Finest comic. It's by Paul Levitz, who's been around for forever, right? Like, and Kevin Maguire, who does an amazing job on doing the artwork. Kevin Maguire, nobody else can do facial expressions like Kevin Maguire can. He is a master of, every possible facial expression.
Facial expressions.
Yes. Okay. Yes, facial expressions. He's a master of that. And it's just a really good book. It's a solid book by Paul Levitz, And I don't know. And I got to say that I read somewhere that, you know, because right now Power Girl has this sort of, I'll call it Kryptonian kind of outfit. And apparently she's going back to the classic 1970s Power Girl outfit in a couple of issues.
What's the big, huge hole in the front and you can see your bosoms
through? That's right.
Is that the one?
That's the one.
All right.
That's
Thank God.
Yeah, All I right. know. I know. Yeah. And people wonder why I like that character.
Right. Yeah. Okay, so... So you're approving of what DC is doing with World's Finest.
Absolutely.
Great. Yeah. And that is World's Finest number 10 at your local comic book shop on stands today.
All right. You know what I'm not necessarily approving of? But I got to bring it up because I can't believe it's still going. Youngblood from Image Comics number 77.
Woo!
By Rob...
It can't be a continuation. It's got to be picking up where they left off. Type of thing.
Well, yeah, because it's number 77, right? Right. But, by Rob Liefeld and some guy here, John Malin. Wow. You know, for a guy that isn't Rob Liefeld, he draws an awful lot like Rob Liefeld. So I don't know if Rob Liefeld is
maybe he went to the
ghosting Rob it or I don't know.
School.
But Here, I got to show you this one panel here, and it's really hard to describe over the radio, but basically there's a character, there's one page, he has no anatomy. He's a character, he just looks like a shadow, and he's not meant to be a shadow, but he looks like a shadow because the artist clearly didn't feel like drawing the whole...
That is one of the most poorly drawn...
Isn't it?
Yeah, it is terrible.
It's absolutely terrible.
Wow.
It's an awful, awful mess. It's, you know, it's meant to be this guy named Chapel, who really no one cares about anyways. But,
Chapel.
There's supposed to be foreshortening of the arm. There's no foreshortening. There's no anatomy to it. And I don't know if it's because they don't know anatomy or I don't know what's going on. Anyway, it's just terrible.
Wow. But,
now, having said all that, clearly there must be some sort of fan base for this comic because it's still being published. Number 77, which boggles my mind. This comic's been around for 20 years.
You know what? Youngblood, it's one of those things, though, Chris. Youngblood, when did Youngblood start? In the early 90s.
Early 90s, yeah.
During that whole Image Valiant era, right? I think you're looking at now, perhaps now you're looking at some nostalgia.
It must be.
Yeah. You're looking at 20 years on. You're looking at guys who are reading it or girls who are reading it when they were 13, 14, 15.
Yeah.
That is cool. Now they're kind of in their 30s. Looking back, maybe. And they're like,
hey, I'll buy that.
Hey, I remember Youngblood. Holy crap. Yeah.
Wow, people are still reading
this. God, this is just as bad as I remember it. I'll take two.
One to have and one to keep.
Yeah, one to have. And one to keep.
That was for some reason that was the phrase back in the 90s. One to have and one to keep. I never understood it.
Yeah. Maybe it was one to read and one to put away.
Yeah, but I remember people saying one to have and one to keep.
Yeah, I think that's what they meant, though.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, Youngblood, number 77 from Image Comics, is at your local comic book shop today, so go check that out.
All right, now, Walt.
Yo.
As you know, this is a non-music episode here of
it's a non-music type episode.
So we got to go straight into.
Should we hum or something?
No.
Okay.
I hate it when you hum.
When I hum.
Yeah.
All right.
Hummer. So Comic Culture Mailbag is up next.
It is.
Yeah. But
wow.
We did. I sent you. We actually had. We had a couple of different emails.
I got those. Yeah. Thank you, yeah.
But you didn't print them off. So we'll wait till next week.
Okay.
Because one of them had to do with the TMNT music.
Yeah, you're right. Well, listen, we have no music this week.
We're not doing music this week, so we're going to save it till next week.
Okay.
We'll wait and then do
what was the other one?
I'm not telling you. You know what? You can't be bothered to read my emails.
Okay,
go
ahead.
So I'm not going to tell you. All right?
Yeah.
All right. So let's go right into industry news. And industry news is brought to you by Poorly Drawn Comics, coming back to you since at least 1990.
Yeah. What are you referring to, Chris?
Nothing at all.
Right. All right, Chris, let's start with this really, really cool endeavor that DC Comics is doing with Capstone, which Capstone is a book licensee. And they're doing DC Entertainment and Chapter Book licensee Capstone. They're doing this superhero writing contest for kids from grade 3 to grade 6. So what happens is this. Be a superhero, read is the catchphrase. They ask kids to write about a real hero in their lives, and talk about their powers of whatever it is, courage or imagination or whatever it is.
Cursing.
The winner will receive a trip for four to the Warner Brothers studios and
well, that'd be cool.
Yeah. And the person that they wrote about will get $2,500 donated to the charity of their choice.
Oh, so they're not actually getting $2,500. No, it's like let's see, Literacy Foundation or whatever it happens to be.
Whatever it is.
Yeah.
And essays are to be written between March 1st and April 15th. And on May 15th, online, I think some kids are going to vote on the Book Expo America. It will be announced.
Now, Walt, I got to say, so... You look like I interrupted you, did I?
No, not at all.
Okay, you looked stunned there for a second.
Yeah, that's a common look lately. Good.
I got to ask you, so if you were to write this, you know, let's say, for example, if you were, you know, an 8-year-old boy, which sometimes I feel like I'm dealing with one.
Right.
Who would you write to be as your hero when you were at that age? Or when you're, let's say, maybe even in your teens.
My hero was my dad.
Aww, that's such a stereotypical cliche, but I still love it.
Because I remember my dad No, I was going to go with this old Frank Sinatra joke, but I thought I'd stop. Remember the old Frank Sinatra joke where the guy goes, yeah, you know what? Frank is the greatest guy ever. I remember the night he saved my life.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he goes, there's three guys beating the snot out of me in the alley, and I heard Frank's voice say, all right, boys, that's enough. Oh, this thing on.
Oh, is that it?
Yeah,
oh.
That was the joke. Wow. Anyway, no, you know what? Great I don't joke. Know. I mean, honestly, I did look up to my dad. It was a cool.
Sure.
Yeah, when you're 8 years old, your dad is the coolest
thing.
Oh,
yeah,
ever.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Honestly.
Yeah.
And my dad was very playful with us, with
right.
me and my brother.
Right.
So as an 8 year old, I would obviously pick my dad. As a 15-year-old, he'd probably be last on my
right,
list.
Right, right, right.
What does my dad know, man? Get off of me. You're cramping my style, man. Back off.
See, I didn't
dude.
Know if you'd choose like a family member or like Arnold, right? You know.
Yeah, but you see, at 8, I wouldn't have known Arnold.
Right.
At 15,
right.
it might have been Arnold.
Okay, okay,
right.
fair enough. Right, right, right. Okay.
Or at 15, it may have been Bessie Sue's dad down the street. Because, boy, I was hot for Bessie Sue. That's another story altogether. Anyway,
I can't believe you actually knew someone called Bessie Sue.
I don't know.
Bessie Sue.
Bessie Sue.
This show brought to you
I
by
love
Bessie
you.
Sue. All right. Anyways.
Bessie Sue.
All right.
That's not the song.
No, right? not no, even close.
Not close.
But listen, let's.
Hold on, I wanted to talk about this a little bit more before we jump.
Right.
the shark That's, on this.
I think
we already
late.
Have.
Too late.
So Chris, talk to me, okay? You've been in comics for at least 50 years.
At least, I think you say 2 years. Man.
And so. You know, with this this licensee of books and like, you think that they're aiming at these little kids.
Right.
So do you think Marvel and DC can get their asses into curriculum? Can they weasel their way into textbooks?
Wow. Wow, that'd be great if they could.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that'd be, you know what, that would be great and scary at the same time. Because
yeah.
really, although, yeah, you know what, that's a great point, because you know what, I'm of two opinions of this. One,
of
I think,
two?
I have two,
okay.
two opinions,
That's
because
good.
One,
right.
I think it's a great idea to get them to get these characters into books, into the educational system, because it may make kids want to read more,
yeah.
right?
Especially young boys who they everybody says are reluctant
now,
readers.
Now, that's right. Now, having said that,
okay.
what happens if I said to you, Coca-Cola has come up with, you know, Coke Man comics.
Yeah.
And now,
Coke
they,
Man,
you know,
yeah.
like they want to get, they want to get into,
on,
they want to get into, yeah. they want to get
after
into
school on the corner. Give me Coke Man.
They want to get into the educational system, and it's going to encourage kids to read because, hey, Coke Man is real cool, right?
Right.
So,
or forget Coke Man. How about Frito-Lay Babe?
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
Frito-Lay.
Frito-Lay.
Yeah,
babe.
And you yeah. know, so you're right. I mean, your parents have been trying to kick Frito-Lay out of schools.
Yeah, that's right.
And Pepsi Cola.
That's right.
And all these other
yeah,
schools.
Exactly.
So, you know,
read the Adventures of the Twizzler.
Ooh, yeah.
yeah.
Or
Bite on the Twizzler.
Or Nibs.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, right. So okay. So you're saying that it's too commercial for schools.
I don't know because you know what. Then, having said that, you know, I'm sure in school, I don't know if you did, but we read books like The Hardy Boys and, you know,
yeah, of course,
and
yeah.
they became like, you know, pop culture
yeah, they
TV
did.
Stuff.
And this is what it's
know?
About, though, Chris. So, like, this is, I guess, a general societal debate we can I start here.
Yeah.
You and I can start here is, you know, pop culture so being so prevalent.
Yep.
And, you know, should schools be using pop culture to teach?
Right.
So should, you know, Star Wars and Spider-Man be a part of the learning tools?
Right.
For these. But you see, the problem there is, you know, you're breeding future consumers.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, you know what? The kids may actually read because it's about Boba Fett.
Right.
But will...
Or Boba Fett. Or Coke Man.
But, you know, where do you draw
Where's
the line?
Exactly,
yeah,
right.
Where do you draw
you know,
line?
So let's say, for example, like, you know, let's say there's, you know, Bone. Let's say Bone. Jeff Smith's Bone.
Yeah, Jeff Smith's Bone.
Is a great book for the book, Jeff Smith's comic book, illustrated graphic
right,
novel.
Called Bone. Right, I get it now. Sorry. Okay.
It's printed.
Where's that Hennessy Black anyway?
It's printed by Scholastic.
Yeah.
Right? Scholastic is in all the schools.
Right.
So where is the, you know, there's.
Yeah. How come he got a dinner?
Yeah, exactly.
And Marvel never got a dinner in the
school. Marvel never got a dinner. Never got a dinner.
Yeah. So anyway, I think you and I have started a great debate.
The great debate.
Yeah, I'm sure it's been started already, but
No, it's a really interesting topic, and I think it's one that we could probably talk about for a long time.
Well, listen, I mean, you know, you and I championed the local comic book shop.
Yep.
And good local comic book shops have really done well in their communities to foster reading with the kids.
That's right.
I mean, let's not be dumb. Obviously, local comic book shops, are businesses.
Yep.
They're usually small proprietor businesses.
Yep.
They obviously have, I won't say ulterior motive, even though I'll say ulterior motive.
I understand what you're saying.
You're giving away the comics you hope the kids enjoy.
Yeah.
You're giving them away.
Yeah.
In hopes that one day maybe they come and buy a couple more. Right.
I think the difference is it's not being forced on the students, right?
Right.
If it's in the educational system, you know, saying, hey,
as curriculum,
you have to read Wolverine's Adventures
Old
with
Man
Matt,
Logan.
Right?
Yeah.
You know, or whatever it happens to be. What was that look
Wolverine's
like?
Adventures in Math.
Right. But can't you see that happening? You know,
right.
Spidey's nutritional information about eating right.
Yes.
You know, like.
Yeah, no, but. Yeah, but
you know, yeah. You know, where's the line end?
Want to lose weight? Let's ask the Hulk.
Ask the Thing.
The Thing.
Yeah.
All right. Anyway, Chris, let's move it along. Since
please.
We don't have any musical.
No, we don't. Any musical interludes.
Interludes.
No.
We'll have to kind of ad lib.
Yeah. Do you want to sing?
Later.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Let's go right to Lee and Snyder's Superman finally gets a book title. Now, of course, there's a new Superman comic coming up by Scott Snyder and Jim Lee. And this will be titled Superman Unchained.
Superman Unchained.
Yes.
Is that like Hercules Unchained?
Sure. Hercules Unchained. Or, you know, more recently, by Quentin Tarantino, Django Unchained.
Oh, so Unchained is good.
Yeah. So Unchained, that's the new in thing, right?
Right.
Pretty soon we'll be drinking Coke Unchained.
Coke Unchained.
That's right.
Yeah.
So.
By Chains. Unchained.
Chains. Unchained.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So anyways, the new series will be previewed on Free Comic Book Day, which is coming up in what? That's in May, isn't it?
May, first weekend in May.
Yeah.
So the Free Comic Book Day, one of the DC books on Free Comic Book Day is the Superman Django book, right?
Unchained, that's right. Superman Django.
Superman Django, right.
That's right.
The Superman Hercules crossover. No, I got
it wrong.
I
would love to see that.
Right. Who would win?
Remember when Arnold played Hercules?
Yeah,
Hercules
Unchained. No, Hercules goes bananas.
Hercules goes bananas.
Yeah, Hercules goes bananas.
Yeah.
Who would win, our Superman
or Hercules?
Or Hercules? I gotta go with Ditka.
Okay.
Anyway, they'll find a way to win. Yeah, this is cool. Now, Chris, I'm gonna say something sacrilegious here. I'm gonna say something. I don't know. Something probably offside.
All right. I'm used to it. Go ahead.
Like, why whip a dead horse? Like, with Superman.
Oh, yeah, I agree.
Don't get me wrong here. Don't get me wrong. Supes, I love Supes.
Yeah.
The cool cat.
Yeah.
That X-ray vision's cool and stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. The whole flying thing is amazing.
Yeah, that guy that heavy can fly.
Yeah, I know, eh?
So, my point is Superman is like, Superman is DC's, okay. Batman is DC's moneymaker.
Right.
Superman is DC's identification.
Absolutely. Yes.
You know,
absolutely.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah,
so,
yeah.
Superman is a character.
Superman is the monarch.
Yeah. Superman is the logo, the motto.
Batman's the president. Superman's the monarch.
Right.
Right. He's the royalty.
Right.
Batman runs the show.
Yeah. Superman's a figurehead.
That's right. He's a figurehead.
Yeah. So he's the first out of the block.
That's right.
And so the homage to Superman.
Yeah.
Even though for years he was fromage.
He really was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the homage is still there.
The homage. I like the way he did that.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and I got a million of them.
That's too
bad. Don't get me started.
Yeah. You're not getting
but the thing is, I don't know, like,
does anybody care?
Like, here you go. You got Scott Snyder. Brilliant.
Yeah.
This guy, Jimmy Lee.
Brilliant.
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 Brilliant. So you're putting him on, what, a dead-end project?
Okay.
I'm asking. I'm just asking.
Okay,
I don't know.
Okay, we'll just hold
just
on.
Just asking.
Okay,
don't
okay,
get
okay.
upset.
Okay, well, hold on. First okay. of all, this is, what, going to be Superman's third title?
Because,
no. In the current continuity.
Oh, okay, right.
Because he's got Action Comics.
Yeah.
And he's got Superman right? Yeah. In its day, just not too long ago, Superman had four titles,
mm-hmm.
right? So this is bringing it up to three, which, if he is the monarch, if
yeah.
he is the royalty of, yeah. of the DC Universe, he should have probably three titles. How many titles does Batman or the Batman family have, right?
Yeah.
So,
well, but you see, the Batman amount of titles of Batman is dictated by the market, in a way.
Right.
But the amount of titles Superman has may be dictated in the DC boardroom, is what
however,
I'm trying to say.
However,
I could be totally wrong, which
however,
I probably am.
No, you've been wrong before, but
right.
however,
wrong.
Scott Snyder and Jim Lee have never worked on a Superman book before.
Mm-hmm.
Let's not forget the kind of work that Scott Snyder has done for Batman and the Batman titles. So I think they're obviously hoping to push some of that, you know, the money train towards the Superman titles,
Woo!
Right?
Woo-hoo! Gravy train.
Money
Woo!
Train's coming in.
Back that train caboose up over here.
Now, however, calling it Superman Unchained is ridiculous.
Ridiculous?
Don't you think so?
I think so.
I think it's a terrible title.
It's terrible.
The only thing I can think of is it brings to memory the Neil Adams picture of Superman breaking the chains around him.
Yeah.
But other than that. Why call him Unchained?
Well,
but you know what's even more ridiculous?
What are chains to Superman?
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? It's like, well, Superman unflossed.
Okay.
You know? I think he'd get a harder time getting out of floss than he would chains.
Superman unthonged. Now, that would sell.
Wow.
That would sell.
I know
but listen,
where your
on.
Train of thought is going.
But listen, hold on a second here. It says here, the character is going to set a new look. DC co-publisher and series artist Jim Lee told USA Today, "We've been pushing the creators to not be beholden to the past conceits and understandings of Superman, so we will speak to a new generation of readers."
Yeah, that's the 73rd time that ploy has gone. We have to reinvent Superman. We have to reinvent Superman.
So what is that? I don't even know what that means anymore.
Well, it means we're going to reinvent him.
So we're going to give him a new costume?
You know what?
Is he going to be wearing like
sure.
a
it's going to be wearing a neon S on the cover. One blue, one red.
Is he even going to have that? Like, or is he going to be like, you know, a punk rocker?
Yeah.
With a, you know, spiky hair and, you know, like a big studs all over his face or something? Like, I don't know. I'm just asking. I don't know what it means. What
yeah.
does it mean by, you know, letting the creator speak? Because to me, it just means like, you know, okay, you can, I don't know, maybe he can go and get his new debit card. Ooh,
but
Superman
yeah,
gets to use
yeah,
debit.
But Chris, that's what we're talking about here. We're talking about, you need for Superman. I think for Superman, you need a consistent purist approach. This is my opinion, and I'm always wrong. You need a consistent purist approach that is viable economically,
right?
Because of the core fan base of Superman.
Yes, right? I agree.
And I think trying to change him, trying to totally revamp him to try to get new. I don't know. I mean, I guess it's good if you want to, I don't know, if they're trying to snag on new readers or not. I don't know. They're trying too hard.
The problem is that there's a purity about Superman
mm-hmm.
which children look up to and then fondly remember into their adulthood.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And if they're going to change that, they can't possibly expect that, you know, the new hardcore Superman is going to look fondly of remembered 20 years from now. Nobody's going to care.
Right.
So why don't you just go back to the roots, go back to the purism of Superman.
Purism.
So that people will remember it, right?
Right.
Okay, that's all I'm saying.
Are we arguing or are we agreeing?
I don't know.
All right.
I like to argue with you, but I think we're agreeing.
I think we are agreeing.
Okay.
All right, let's continue. Chris, let's remind everybody that we are...
musicalists.
We're broadcasting at 93.3 CFMU, McMaster Radio, which needs your help. So find them on the internet and donate.
Right.
And that you and I champion the local comic book shop.
We really do.
Yeah.
We really do. You know what? You know what's great about championing the local comic book shop is that we also like to talk about things that are about comic books and comic book related, such
comic
as
book related.
You know, industry news. Now it's
yeah.
continuing to be brought to you by Night of the
Levitation,
Night of the Living Dead, the musical.
coming live.
Live.
Night of the Living Dead live.
Sorry, I can't get it up straight. The musical.
Is it a musical?
Is it not a musical? Oh, it's a play.
We have
sorry.
The producer of Night of the Living Dead sitting no, beside
he's
us.
Shaking he's shaking his head like, his oh, head what are you saying, talking no. about? I thought it was a musical. So, all right. So anyway, Night of the Living Dead live.
The play.
The play.
What's the theater called again?
What's it called again? Theater Passmurai. All right.
In Toronto.
In Toronto.
Coming
starting
soon.
In April. There you go. Look for it on Facebook. All right.
Look for it on Facebook.
Anyways.
That was a good read, Chris. That went well.
Listen. Do you remember back in the day?
Yes.
For whatever reason, remember Image started this Wildstorm / Cliffhanger series of comic books, which had Umberto Ramos and J. Scott Campbell and Joe Majura. And they had books like Danger Girl and Battle Chasers.
Yeah, I remember Battle Chasers.
And
geez,
I don't remember what the third one was. But anyways, so Battle Chasers was done by Joe Majura. And Joe Majura was sort of a hot sensation brought about by Marvel Comics on X-Men and Wolverine.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he came back to Spider-Man in 2011, and now he's coming back to Wolverine, and he's going to make his big return to comics in the Wolverine forum.
Oh, excellent. So, there's tons of Wolverine fans.
Yes, and there's tons of Majura fans.
So, do you know the title? No.
Well, I think it's Wolverine.
Wolverine?
I
think it's Wolverine. Awesome. Yeah. Awesome.
All right. He's going to be going back to Wolverine. You know, he's one of those type of guys that he kind of had an awesome blend of, I want to say, manga art style fused with North American art style, like traditional North American comic book art style. And, but you know, he did it in a really cool, fun way that was kind of cartoony and kind of pushed the boundaries of what was acceptable and all that kind of stuff.
This is a dumb question, Chris. Okay. Now, you've worked the front line of comic shops for many, many years.
Okay.
You've seen, I've been a fan of comic shops, comic books, for, like I said, half a century.
Yep. easily, yeah.
And let me ask you something. In your opinion, is it the writer or the artist that is the key?
It's a great, great question. I would say personally, and this I could probably get into a lot of trouble saying this, but I would say
that was the intent, by the way, of the question.
I would say for the most part, it's the artist.
The artist.
For me.
Right.
For me, it's the artist.
Yes.
However, having said that,
right.
You know, the Sandman series by DC by Neil Gaiman is one of my favorite comic book series of all time.
Are you saying you didn't like the art in it?
No, but the art didn't matter as much as the story to me.
Okay.
But
let's say
let's say
what's his name? Boland?
Brian Boland?
Yeah. Let's say he didn't do Joker, the Batman.
Killing
the Joke. It's what you and I do often.
Batman killing the Killing
yeah,
Joke. Yeah.
You think it would have been as good? See what I'm saying?
Yeah,
is,
yeah. I agree.
You know, like
I don't know.
Even though how good Moore was, you know, Boland
probably
set
not.
It off.
Because, yeah, I don't know. Probably not. It probably wouldn't have had the same effect.
Wow.
Right?
So, yeah, I mean, I don't want to interject. But I am interjecting. What am I? I don't, of course I want to interject.
Interject.
I honestly think it's a high... I think it's a... it's like, you know, cooking. It's a combination of ingredients.
Yes.
And you can have a great storyteller, but if the art doesn't reflect...
Yeah.
It just misses.
Right.
Right? You can have great art, but if the story doesn't reflect,
it misses. Yeah,
and you kind of have to luck into a mutual kind of understanding.
I agree.
You know what I mean?
But what I will say, I completely agree with what you're saying, but what I will say is if when I first look at a book, I look at the art.
Mm-hmm.
The artist will draw me in more so than the writer will.
That's fair.
I will, and then if I'm on a book, and they change artists, I will continue reading it because of the writer.
Right.
Right? So let's say, you know, Fables and Bill Willingham is writing, you know, all the storylines, and it may change an artist here and there. Well, I'll keep reading it, whether or not it's whoever writing it or drawing it.
Right.
But because it's Bill Willingham, I really like it.
Right.
Now, having said that, I won't necessarily pick up a book just because of just because of a writer. However, I will pick up a book just because of an artist.
Right.
So, for example, you know, even this latest, you know, the what do you call it? The one I just talked about, the World's Finest with Power Girl. I love Kevin Maguire's artwork.
Right.
I wouldn't necessarily buy a book just because of Paul Levitz.
Okay. Fair enough. So, yes, that's a good point. Excellent. All right. Well, good. So anyway, Joe.
So Joe Majura is returning.
Joe Majura returning to Wolverine.
To Wolverine, yes. And now he was one of those guys. He did like, I think it was 5 or 6 issues of Battle Chasers, and then it kind of disappeared.
Mm-hmm.
And people clamored for more, and it never happened. So I would like to see him return to Battle Chasers and kind of do more of that stuff. Right. That was his own thing.
Hey, let's talk about X-Files.
All right, X-Files. All right. That's an old TV show.
It was an old TV show.
So,
it
show.
It was a show.
TV show.
It was
I
a
was
good show.
Series,
but it was
show.
A good show that, and because the great medium of comics goes both ways.
Hey-o.
All
right.
And what I mean by that is comic books are very adaptable. Comic books can be successful at exporting their properties to other media, like video games, like movies, like TV series.
Yeah.
But they can also be successful, sometimes more so, sometimes less so, at taking other properties, like TV shows and movies, turning them into good comic books.
Such as Buffy.
X-Files.
Oh, right.
Or Buffy. Obviously, Buffy is the key.
Right.
Star Trek, Star Wars have done great.
Yeah, absolutely.
X-Files was a big-selling comic when it came out in the 90s.
Right.
And then it kind of panned and everything like that. But the X-Files comic, I guess IDW is coming back with an ongoing comic series, X-Files.
Yes.
And then obviously there's talk of Chris Carter doing, like, you know what Buffy did with season 8?
Right.
An X-Files season 10.
See, I think that's really cool. So Chris Carter was the original creator of the X-Files comic. And now when the new X-Files series.
Right.
When the comic comes out, it's going to be in the series hands of Chris Carter.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also going to have, start out by seeing season 10. Because the series TV.
Spit it out, Chris. Get it. Come on, you can do it.
I'm having trouble speaking tonight.
Yes.
The TV series ended at season 9, so all of a sudden now it's going to start at season 10 with comic book.
Right. And I was an X-Files fan when it came out.
Wait, really?
Yeah.
Did you see the movies and that kind of thing?
I went to see the movie, and Duchovny there that was Mulder. Mulder Scully was Anderson.
The girl. Yeah, yeah.
He's pushing for a new movie, obviously, because he's not getting any other work.
Yeah.
So, I mean, listen, it's time, right? Because, I don't know, again, it's that 20-year cycle. It's almost like that 20-year cycle,
you know,
that nostalgia cycle.
Yeah, it's
like
kind of...
People are now... X-Files is old enough now that people remember it fondly.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I remember when I was into that series, and this would be cool, and then... I don't think it's going to have the impact that Buffy Season 8 had.
No, I agree.
Because Buffy Season 8 was one of the pivotal moments, I think, in local comic book shop evolution.
How so?
Buffy Season 8 was a point where non-comic book shop patrons were drawn into comic book shops.
Right.
Now, on a regular basis.
Now, sorry, go ahead.
No, Buffy Season 8 definitely was one of them.
More so than the Stephen King Dark Tower series?
No, I'm saying that Stephen King Dark Tower series was another pivotal point.
Okay.
They were both pivotal points.
Because they kind of happened around the same time.
And the local comic book shops that were successful in presenting themselves in a professional positive light when these consumers came in wanting these products... Hey, I'm a huge Stephen King fan. I go to Barnes & Noble's or Chapters for all my Stephen King books.
Right.
can't get Dark Tower unless I go to a comic book shop. So I'm going to come into your comic book shop because I have to. And the local comic book shops that did well in receiving these people, whether they were Buffy fans or Stephen King fans, they had, I'm sure, a much higher retention than the ones that, oh, I don't know, I sold out, man. I got like two copies and like
do you think
some
that...
chick came in and bought the two Buffys. I don't know what's going on with
that. Do you think that the people that are buying, that started out as buying, say, just Buffy, like they came in, they're a Buffy fan.
Yes.
They came in just to buy Buffy.
Uh-huh.
What percentage of those people do you think stuck around and bought other books besides Buffy?
I have the figures in front of me, Chris.
Oh.
I have no idea. But,
well, like, okay.
Yeah, but.
10%?
Yeah, you know what? Let it be. Let it be 10%.
Okay.
And that's good, because if you can do, if you can snag 10% of the Buffys.
Yeah.
If you can snag 10% of the Dark Towers.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
If you can snag 10% of the
Star Wars.
Star Wars and of the
Ghostbusters.
What's this one coming out? X-Files. Then you're doing the right thing.
Right.
You're doing well.
You know what's going to be interesting?
But hold on. Sorry. Before I lose my train of thought.
Okay.
The key there is, if you're living in a town that has two or three comic shops, I guarantee you that Comic Shop A and Comic Shop B will have a different percentage of retention.
Oh, absolutely.
Because of what Comic Shop A does with that opportunity.
Absolutely.
And what Comic Shop P, what they didn't do with that opportunity.
Yeah, I agree.
So comic shops, because we're small, we have to be very, very opportunistic in situations like this, where things come upon us like this.
Okay, say, I've got two trains of thought here. First of all, so, for example, let's say the X-Files comic comes out. Now, you are a comic book shop owner.
Mm-hmm.
So, will you have some sort of giant launch for this comic? You know, here's an opportunity to extend the hand of comic book shops out to the community to say, hey, we have an X-Files comic book coming out. You know, what are we going to do about it? Are we going to have X-Files Day? Are we going to have, you know, play X-Files movies in the background?
Right.
You know, will you do something about this? Yeah. Or will it just meander around and
absolutely
not do anything?
Right, Chris. Our particular shop will do nothing.
Right. Okay.
But we'll miss the boat. Right? No, I don't know. I mean, it's something that we have to sit down and as a group, and all comic shops sit down as a group and start, you know, plan out. Local comic shops have databases of customers, right? Something as simple as their electronic newsletters,
ship,
you know,
email,
that they do every week should announce this, right?
I agree.
You know, now that of course is mining, and the word is mining, I guess, is that of course is addressing your current customer base,
right?
Which isn't really what you want here, though.
No,
right?
So you want
to be
very
creative, expand,
yeah.
but.
Yeah.
The problem is, because local comic book shops are small,
right.
How much money do you put into
advertising
one book. For something like this?
Sure.
Right? So, I mean, you have to be creative.
No.
And you have to, I don't know what the word is, perhaps outside as people drive by, if you could have a little sign. X-Files
have an alien.
You have
know,
an alien walk up and down
that's
the street.
Right. Yeah,
you
yeah,
know?
Yeah.
Have a, I don't know. Yeah, just you have to think it through.
Right.
And you have to try to... do the best you can with the opportunity presented.
See, here's what I'm thinking, you know, and I'm still haven't gotten my second point, by the way. But what I'm thinking of is, you remember with the wedding of Kate and what's his head, Philip? No, what's his name? The guy.
Kate and what's his name?
Catherine.
Catherine. Kate. Katie.
No, from the Britain.
Tom Cruise.
No, you know what I'm talking about. The wedding of Harry. Kate and Harry? No. Was it Harry? Prince Harry? Was it?
Prince Harry, yeah.
Oh, no. Was it Harry?
William,
that's who it was.
Harry.
Anyways.
Okay.
Some stores in Britain did big, you know, wedding type things for their comic books. And, you know, hey, we're having a great big wedding thing.
Yeah.
You know, obviously people here didn't do very much. But, you know, some stores did stuff, some stuff, and some stores did nothing, you know. My point is, you know, how many times do you have to take an advantage of these different opportunities?
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes you just have to say, well, you know what? It's not worth it, right?
Yeah. And it's up to the local comic book shop's call. I remember when, Archie got married.
Right.
And I remember a great, great comic shop in Canada called Happy Harbor in Edmonton, Alberta.
They had an actual wedding.
They arranged an actual Archie and Betty, wedding, which the local media came and filmed.
Right.
And they, I think the number was they bought 1,000 of the...
Right.
And that day they sold something stupid like 700 of the issues.
So, you know...
You see, they took the risk and it paid off.
Right. So here's what you need to do. You need to have an actual flying saucer outside of your store with aliens coming out of it.
Got it. That's what you need to do. Written it down.
And in fact, you know what? Take it one step further and start abducting people.
Abducting people.
Yeah.
Right.
And then you put probes in them.
Does this show count?
Anyways,
let's keep going.
We've spent far too long. X-Files,
the comics coming out, season 10. Very cool.
Yeah.
I'll look for that.
Okay. Sure. Red Sonja. Now, you're a fan of the Arnold movies, Conan, Arnold. Things like that. Remember they even came out with a Red Sonja movie with Brigitte Nielsen many years back in the day? So now, Red Sonja has been sort of an also-ran character from the Conan canon, I guess you call it. Well, it turns out that Dynamite Entertainment is going to be bringing back the Red Sonja comic now with a twist. Because they're going to have a rotating cast of women artists doing the covers.
That's wrong.
And Gail Simone is going to be writing the series. So we've got a woman doing the writing for the series, and we've got women doing the art for the covers.
Totally wrong.
Why?
I'm going to tell you.
Okay, tell me.
At the risk of sounding, what's the word, chauvinistic?
Chauvinistic, yeah.
What's her name again? Red Sonja is a male fantasy.
Right. Wait.
Like she's a she was created for men to fantasize over.
Okay. Is that what a male fantasy is?
I think so. I'm not sure. What I'm saying is guys are buying Red Sonja because she's a good-looking gal, all that kind of stuff. And I think guys understand guys better than girls understand guys.
Okay, fair enough.
If that makes sense.
But maybe they're trying to tap into a female market.
That's different. If they are, that's fine.
And they think that maybe they can get it from a woman's perspective, and maybe they'll start selling it more to the female audience.
I understand that. But if she's going in and all of a sudden the comics are with her, you know, walking down the bazaar buying leather sandals, that is something that maybe the guys won't enjoy reading.
Looking at, oh, maybe the blue sandals instead of the red ones.
Look at this handbag. Is it heavy enough to knock a guy over out with as I swing it into his head?
I'm going to get hit on all the time. So yeah. These handbags need to be really heavy.
Really heavy. Yeah. I don't know. But I mean, it's a great idea, obviously. They just have to kind of, I guess what they have to do is figure out their target market.
Right.
And if they want to expand, if they feel that their target market is too narrow.
Yeah.
Guys that want to just see Red Sonja's boobs.
Right. Right. And there are a lot of
people
like
that. Which is kind of, I think, maybe 90% of the market right now for Red Sonja.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Okay, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
If they want to try to expand and they think Red Sonja is a great character, which I think she is a great character.
I
remember reading the old, Conan stories. I love Red Sonja.
Yeah,
right?
Great character.
And,
I agree.
And if they want to try to bust out of that.
Bust out. Yeah.
Then sure. Yeah. Take a different approach. Maybe get a new fan base.
I agree. Right. I agree. And you know what? Really, you know, I like Conan because I like the character. I don't really care about the fact that he's a perfectly male specimen.
Yeah.
You know, like I like the character. I like the way he acts. I like he interacts with people. Yeah. And I think that if they can somehow do that with Red Sonja rather than make her a sex object, they will tap into a market where people will actually like the character.
Chris, I'm with you 100%.
All right.
Hey, Chris, let's talk about this guy, Gary Oldman.
Oh, great. Gary Oldman. Now, hold on. You don't call him Gary Oldman. You know Gary Oldman. He was Commissioner Gordon from the Batman movies.
You know who else he was?
Who?
He was Count Dracula.
Well, he was. That's right. In Bram Stoker's Dracula. That's right.
Yeah.
And he also played a bad guy in Air Force One with Harrison Ford.
He also played a bad guy in Young Romance.
I don't know that one.
Brad Pitt was in that. And that was the famous scene where Christopher Walken and Dennis Hopper.
Okay.
Dennis Hopper played Christian Slater. was the kid.
Okay.
Dennis Hopper.
Oh,
played,
yeah.
And then, you know, in the trailer, and they knew, anyway,
yeah.
Long story. But yeah, so I know who Gary Oldman is.
Okay, good.
Great,
yeah.
Great actor.
Oh, fantastic.
And I'm so excited about, never mind Gary Oldman, great actor. I don't care. Yeah, I do care. He's a great actor. Fine. Okay, hey, great actor. What do you want? What do you want from me? Great actor. What do you want?
Fine, be that way.
But what I'm pumped about is the dawn of the Planet of the Apes.
Right. So
cool.
They had the Rise of the Planet of the Apes, which came out a couple years ago, or maybe it was a year ago.
After
or so.
The dud of Planet of the Apes.
Oh, do you remember that was by Tim Burton? That was terrible.
It was terrible.
Yeah, terrible.
Oh. And then Rise of the Planet.
So
of the
they're
Apes
rebooting
out.
The whole Planet of the Apes.
Well, they're not necessarily rebooting this. They're
well, it's kind
they're
of.
They're filling in the holes.
Well, they're starting the prequels, right?
Yeah.
So, it's kind of like it's kind of
but the
of a
next
reboot.
Story is a story that hasn't been told yet, and that is the story of now the Rise of the Planet of the Apes was kind of told in one of the old Planet of the Apes where Caesar remember and
yeah
guy.
but
the next sequence of when the plague hits the humans
right.
This hasn't been told yet.
No, I suppose
in the old
right.
series it hasn't been told.
No,
yet.
You're right.
And
you're
so
right.
This is going to be new.
Are you
territory.
Sure it hasn't been told?
No, it hasn't been told.
Wasn't it told in you know, Beneath the Planet of the Apes or something
no,
like that? Really?
No, Beneath the Planet of the Apes was already they're going out to rescue Taylor and stuff like that.
Oh,
you know,
okay,
way past.
Right, right.
I like this. I mean, I remember in the 70s. I remember as a kid loving the Planet of the Apes.
Oh yeah,
and
me
I
too.
Remember as a kid. Really excited when the Planet of the Apes comic books were Marvel.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Adapted the comic book.
Yeah.
Planet of the Apes. I mean, Planet of the Apes. The movies were awesome. Then the
TV
awesome.
Series. Yeah.
Yeah. And then the comics books were awesome.
Yeah.
The comics books.
Comics books.
And then it just disappeared. That Planet of the Apes is the greatest franchise that never did anything.
You never got a dinner.
Never got a dinner.
No, never got a dinner.
You know, it just fizzled out after that, the comic book series.
You know what? They did four movies, plus it's made for TV movies, so five movies.
Yeah, and then the TV series.
And then the TV series.
And the comic,
comic books. And
magazine.
There was even a cartoon.
And magazine.
And the magazine. Yeah. Yeah.
And then by the late 70s.
And then Mego figures, like toys, and then all of a sudden it just died.
Done.
Yeah.
For like 30 years almost.
And then
late 70s
and then
to
Tim
late
Burton
2000.
Tried to bring it back and never got a dinner.
Yeah, never got a dinner.
Yeah,
and then they did this last one.
It was good. It was
and
good.
It was awesome.
It was really good.
And they obviously got licensed to do Dawn of the Planet of the Apes. But
is that what it's called? Oh, it is called.
Yeah, Dawn of the Planet of the Apes. Yeah, so I'm really pumped about it. And I mean, okay, yeah, we're talking about a movie. We're talking about Gary Oldman, but we also are talking about. You know, a
Planet
comic book, a property that succeeded for a while
absolutely.
In comic books,
succeeded
for a while in comic magazines.
Well, and not only that, it actually had a few comebacks in comic books.
Yeah,
done.
Now Comics came
out with it, and I think there's another Innovation, I think, came out with it. So it's a comic book series that has lasted, and I think even just the franchise itself has kind of lasted, I mean, as long as, well, geez, you know, when did it come out? 1960s?
Yeah, well, yeah, 68, I think, was the first one.
Yeah.
And, it's such a strong premise when you talk about human nature, the whole, you know, anthropology of humans, the history of
awesome.
Humans, the whole thing. It's such it just touches at the root of something that we're all kind of interested in.
Yeah.
That they can take this property and redo it as a successful comic book series.
Absolutely.
And
yeah.
Here's my question to you: who will do justice to? What's this? What are we
talking
about?
Planet of the Apes.
Thank you. I was going to say Dawn of the Dead. But Planet of the Apes. Will it be Dark Horse or IDW or will it be Marvel or DC?
You know
not DC. DC's the one that I know will not do it.
DC's out of it. Marvel's out of it.
Marvel's out of it?
Marvel's
is everything in Marvel continuity?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, okay.
I have to, you know what? I hate to say it, but I kind of am happy to say it. But, geez, IDW. From out of relative obscurity over the past couple of years, really, they were nobody years ago.
They never got a dinner.
Never got a dinner. Now they're getting dinners all the time because they're getting
X-Files, right now.
Ghostbusters, all kinds of different series, Star Trek. You know, like they were the ones that they will do well with Planet of the Apes because it seems like nothing else that IDW. Knows how to take a franchise and knows what the heart of the franchise is and base their stories on that rather than some guy saying, "Oh, I love those Planet of the Apes guys. Let me write a story about my own Planet of the Apes creation." right? You know, and that's what a lot of people, That's what people do. They're like, oh, I got my own ideas.
Right. Fair enough. No, I'm excited about this. You know, and canvas your write letters to IDW, tell them to pick up the comic property. Hey, Chris, before we sign off,
yeah.
let's remind everybody that you and I will be at the Sands all next week.
Performing live.
Performing live.
Yeah.
Actually, we won't be at the Sands. That's, I think, next month.
Right.
We will be at the Toronto Comic Con.
Oh, yeah, right.
On Saturday. On this Saturday
is
coming up.
Saturday and Sunday, or just Saturday? Just one day
Saturday
show?
Saturday and Sunday.
Okay, 2 day show.
The 9th and 10th.
Okay.
At the Metro Toronto Convention Center.
Okay.
At the Big B Comics booth.
Right.
Find you and me.
Yeah.
So we encourage everybody to come to the con.
Yes,
and
absolutely.
Drop by the booth, say hi.
Yep.
That's all I got to say.
Well, yes, absolutely. And well, isn't your buddy going to be there as well? Your friend and mine, Mr. Richard Comley.
Yeah, Richard Comley will be at the booth signing his Captain Canuck
now,
stuff.
He is the creator of Captain Canuck,
yep.
who, you know, has been on a stamp.
He's an icon, a Canadian icon. You know who else will be there? Are the people from Night of the Living Dead Live.
The musical.
They will be handing out information on the play.
Perfect. Right?
And perfect. So there'll be a lot of worthwhile to come.
You know what? Why not?
And as you and I encourage everybody, at least once this year, anybody in the listening area listening to us should go to a local comic book convention.
Absolutely.
They are great, great places to go on your own, to take the girlfriend,
yep.
take the boyfriend. Yep. Take the kids, take the husband, take the wife.
Absolutely. They're great. A lot of fun. That's for sure. Well, you know, unfortunately, that is all the time that we have for today.
All right, Chris. Comic Culture is produced by Anthony Falcone, engineered by Andrew Roebuck, except for tonight.
He's not here tonight.
Comments and suggestions, please visit comicbookdaily.com. Click on the podcast link. Scroll to the comments field and add your comments. Also, listen to us at getthepointradio.com.
And remember, a comic book shop worth its gold will have a space flying saucer out on its parking lot when X-Files comes out.
The pressure. hey, go out and support your local comic book shop.
And have yourself a great day.